just syncs up the microphones.
Ah. Hi, guys, it's Megan.
And it's Rachel.
And we just wanted to start this episode with a brief message for our diligent listeners. We love you, by the way. You may have noticed that we didn't have an episode for Monday, and we were a little late with last week's episode. The truth is, Rachel and I have been in a housewives-esque feud, and it got really nasty.
Yep.
And so we just couldn't bear to record together.
Megan just doesn't know what I deal with every night.
Yeah.
It's really hard on me.
No. Actually, the truth is, Grace, our producer, went on vacation. How dare she?
Spain apparently was more exciting than doing our podcast for a week.
And we are just not technically savvy enough to deal with this stuff on our own. So thanks a lot, Grace.
You're welcome.
But moving on, because we're here today, and we have a guest.
We do.
Charlie Leverage, who works at Bravo, is in the house.
Woo! Hello.
Charlie, why don't you tell us, what do you do here at Bravo?
I work in our current production department. I work on various different series, just overseeing kind of the soup to nuts production of different shows.
Charlie's being modest right now. He's the one that brings you Don't Be Tardy. He has worked on Watch What Happens Live, Fashion Queens.
Yes.
And the upcoming, or currently on, just premiered,
Sweet Home Oklahoma.
Sweet Home Oklahoma. Woo-hoo!
Okay, so let's start with that, because just to kind of give listeners like a better idea of what you do, what was sort of like your daily job on that show?
So it depends on where we are in the production process with the show. So that show, you know, it comes to us. It was a whole crazy way how we found the cast, but basically one of our great development VPs, Joseph Ferraro, kind of discovered Jen Welch. She's one of the main cast members, and through a different project. And that project didn't go forward, but he fell in love with her and went out to Oklahoma and was like, I would need to meet your friends. You're not what I would have expected. I want to know everything. And so she kind of introduced him to all her friends, and he met this core group that you see on the show. And they were just amazing. So he went to a production company, Evolution, and they filmed a little sizzle reel with that cast. And everybody else at Bravo fell in love with them, and we greenlit it to series. And then once that started, I and my coworker, Ryan Flynn, worked with Joseph to kind of, and with the production company, to kind of figure out what this show was going to be. We really only knew that we wanted this group of friends. We didn't know what the actual show would be, and we knew that they weren't going to be fighting. It's not a Housewives. It's not, you know, interpersonal drama in that kind of amazing way. It's much more humorous and lighthearted.
It's a half hour, right?
Yeah, so and so like we wanted sitcom. To do well. We wanted to basically make a reality sitcom, and I work on Don't Be Tardy, which is also kind of a reality sitcom, mm-hmm. and so we kind of wanted to do something similar in that similar vein.
Well, and it seems like it's coming out at the perfect time because Bravo has just had this rebrand, like refresh, and it kind of does feel different than what the normal like Bravo addict may be tuning into.
Yeah.
But that said, it's kind of amazing.
Oh, thank you. I think it has, it's definitely, I think it's a very refreshing show.
Right.
It also definitely has a lot of the things that you do get in some of our other shows, like in the Housewives. I mean, Housewives are very funny. Vanderpump Rules mm-hmm. is a very funny show. I hope that Sweet Home Oklahoma is a very funny show, too. I think it's very funny.
I mean, the woman smokes with a rubber glove
with
on
a glove
her
on
hand.
Her hand. Sweet
that
Pumps.
That is hilarious.
Sweet Pumps.
Pumps is going to be a big breakout star. She's awesome. The people on this show are legitimately awesome people. And that's a really fun thing about this show is, like, you want to be friends with them. You want to hang out with them. And I have hung out with them, and they're really cool.
That's what's gonna happen. So when you're in Oklahoma, like, are you able to go out and get drunk with them? Is that even part of your job sometimes?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah, yeah. Take that what you will, listeners.
He did walk in with a yellow glove on.
Yeah, just smoking cigs inside 30 Rock.
But so
then after we go to, like, the show gets up and running, they're filming in Oklahoma City, which is actually a really cool city if you ever find yourself there. And we work with the production company and kind of just talk with them on a regular basis about what's going on. We get regular updates from them.
Do you ever basically get anything daily. That you're like, oh my God, I cannot believe this is happening
right yeah. now? Yeah. I mean, on this show, it's more just like this crazy, silly stuff that they did. On like a Housewives kind of show, there might be, you know, like, you find out, yeah, like they found out, you know, my colleagues who work on Atlanta found out the day after Portia and Candy had that
right.
conversation, yeah, you know.
Flip-flop.
Yeah, flip-flopping in bed like pancakes. You know, they read that all, they got all that from the production company, and I'm sure they got on the phone immediately and were like, okay, we need the entire download on what just happened. So that kind of stuff certainly happens. And then once we get into post, we go through a process where we work with the production company to, you know, just edit the shows and polish them and make them the shiny, nice things that you see on TV.
Yeah. Well, so what you did for that show, similar to what you do for Don't Be Tardy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I kind of wanted to nerd out with Don't Be Tardy okay. with you. So, first of all, what is there anything, like, crazy that has happened that on Don't Be Tardy that was similar to, like, when you hear about the Portia and Candy? Like, what?
Sorry, you're recording really.
All right, cool.
Ready?
So, similar to, like, that Portia and Candy fight that we just talked about, I can't imagine going through, like, not knowing where Croy is going to end up, and then with everything that happened. Like, as a producer, what was that like for you, hearing the story? Like, this has been crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, the things that happen on Don't Be Tardy are definitely not as salacious as the Candy Portia conversation that I will just keep talking about forever because it's my favorite thing that's happened on TV. teacups, short and stout. But, yeah, last season we were tracking the whole you know, we're filming this in real time and really trying to figure out where Croy's going to go, just like viewers eventually were as well. And, you know, it was hard to plan because you're trying to think of things as a story also, like not just as the reality of it, but you want to have a beginning, middle, and end. And we just weren't ever sure when we were going to get that end.
Right.
And, of course, unfortunately, it kind of happened right after we stopped filming. But we were able to get in there and sort of film a little bit more.
Get an update.
And I think, you know, next time we see the family, they're in a really cool, fun place. And there's going to be a lot of fun stuff in the future for the Bierman Bunch.
What can you tell us about Kim that we might not already know?
I don't know that much about Kim that you don't already know. I don't know her. but I can tell you that I've seen her natural hair. It's very beautiful.
Oh, my God. Then you definitely know her.
Yeah. I know nothing.
Yeah, oh, you've seen her natural hair.
And she's very nice natural hair. I mean, everybody's seen it on the first season of Don't Be Tardy for the wedding. But, yeah. Yeah, that's something fun about Kim. She's a great mom.
Is it crazy being in that house? There's just so many kids.
It's a big house. And there are, but there are a lot of children. But it's a really big house. So yeah. There's room for the whole family.
Right.
They have a lot of toys. Those kids have, like, a ton of toys. And they're really good. They have the little ones all have these like little cars, like toy cars, like motorized, but they're motorized toy cars that they drive. And they're really good drivers. Like when they're 2 years old, they're better drivers than I am.
That's so funny.
Well, KG can do anything.
He really can.
we talked about this ourselves, our like favorite Bravo Love encounter, because working here, you always end up in, like, funny situations with Bravo Labs. Like, what has been your favorite encounter with a Bravo Lab?
Oh. I don't think I can say my favorite one.
No.
You not even who it's with?
I got a really good story about, at the Upfront a few years ago, which is, like, our ad sales presentation. All the talent was there, and everybody was enjoying cocktails. And I received a really good story from one of our first season talent about how much female attention he was getting now that he was on television. And it was just really delightful and awkward for me.
So I got a he.
Was this man on Southern Charm?
No.
Was this man a Million Dollar Listing?
No.
No.
Shot. No.
Oh, my God.
I think we're gonna get in trouble. We're going to talk about the show later today.
Oh.
Was it Apollo? And it was a Vanderpump person.
Oh,
Vanderpump.
Yeah. Oh, duh.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm pretty sure you can say that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, surprisingly, Jax is a lady killer.
Yeah. Well, now he's with Brittany.
Right. True.
This was before Brittany, to clarify. He was single.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Not with Stassi either.
Right? No, it was like between, after, I think. Like, yeah.
Well, so there you go.
Yeah, no, it was like totally fine. It was just, yeah.
It was just.
It was super awkward for me.
Right,
because
you're, yeah.
Oh, gosh. I can only imagine a few cocktails in and Jax is just like revealing all of the details about his love life right now to unsuspecting Charlie Leverage.
It was interesting. But it was fun. He's really nice and very funny.
Oh, good.
Should we take this opportunity to segue?
Yeah.
I mean, I figure while you're here, why don't we just talk about the shows that have been on?
Sounds good. I'm a Bravo-holic as well as a Bravo employee, so.
As are we. So let's start with Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
We got a sneak peek at the wedding, but mm-hmm. not the full thing. Yeah. That happens next episode. Today was really about Taco Tuesday themed rehearsal dinner,
which I loved. Yes. I was kind of like all in on this Taco Tuesday. I think they made light of it that their wedding was on a Wednesday, and they're like, it's Tuesday, why don't we just go all in?
Right.
And I liked it.
Yeah. I liked that they owned the like awkwardness of having a Wednesday wedding, and they just like went with it. I would be annoyed if somebody invited me to a Wednesday wedding.
I would be too. I get annoyed by Sunday weddings, so Wednesday I wouldn't even know what to do with myself.
So, Katie was a really calm bride because she had a bit of an edible before. They say it on the show?
Uh-huh. Oh, I wasn't sure. Okay.
Yeah, she said a yum yum of an edible. And I remember...
She's not talking about an edible arrangement.
Yeah, she's not. And I remember being in a meeting where someone in production said, like, she was really calm. Like, they were almost like... Because, you know, it's before your wedding. Like, you would think you'd be doing this, doing that. And she was just like, whatever.
Right. I'm cool, guys. No worries.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, we start off the episode really with, I think, water rafting is where the episode really starts for me. And
the tubing. Can I say there was one thing before the tubing,
yes,
I think, that really struck me?
Yes.
It was an interview with Jax. He kept saying, more work. I can't think of anything more work. He's talking about Schwartz's brothers, which,
yes,
I think we'll get to, but he's saying, like, I can't think of anything more worse or worser, and he just, like, kind of keeps going, and I just thought it was so brilliant of whoever
kept it in
yes, there, and whoever, yes, was interviewing Jax in the first place, because, like, my instinct would have been to be, like, after the three tries, just say, it's just worse.
Yeah.
But just to sit back and let him just do it, and then to show the whole thing, it was brilliant, and it was really fun.
Of great edits of that, like Brittany with her top popping open like four times in a row, just so funny.
But then they go tubing, yeah.
Oh yeah, but then they go tubing, and I just loved watching Schwartz on that flamingo. Like, that is Schwartz's true self. Like, that is who he is in his heart. I think he always wants to be floating down a river on a flamingo, and it just made me super happy.
Drinking a really cheap beer. These people drink the cheapest beer.
Yeah, and they're bartenders.
Yeah.
So you would think they would have some sort of, like, refined palate.
But they're bartenders, so they can probably... You're a bartender, you're not,
yeah,
like...
I'm not, like, a beer snob. Like, I'm a value customer.
Yes.
Like,
yeah,
I like,
right,
value. But, like, I also don't think that they're... I don't know. I don't want to get in trouble with, like... I'm not going to say any brands, but, like, I would choose a different cheap beer.
Interesting. I thought that it was really funny, considering Jax, that we know has missed many flights. Tom Sandoval missed a flight. Them giving these brothers such a hard time for missing a flight. I don't think that they fly very often, considering it was so hard for them to get a flight in the first place. it can be kind of confusing at the airport. What if there was, like, a really long line? I was like, Jax, of all people, it's like pot and kettle. Come on.
Although, I was going to ask, have you guys ever missed a flight?
I did because I went to the wrong airport because I didn't know. I was flying within Australia, so naturally I thought I would not be in the international terminal. But because it was technically an international airline, I went to the wrong terminal, basically. So I missed my flight.
I booked a flight for the wrong day and missed it because I thought that it was...
The day after or before? I booked...
Yeah. Like, I thought... No, I thought it was, like, 3 days after. So I showed up to the airport and, like, my ticket wasn't working and... Like, I went to the counter and was talking to the person. He's like, the reason that your ticket's not working is because your flight was for 3 days ago.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, that was really, really bad. So I can't really shade the brothers. But I really did enjoy how frustrated Jax was with the brothers.
I feel like because Jax is not this, like, baller who's like, you get a plane ticket and you get a plane ticket. Like, he really...
It was really generous.
This was a generous gift in terms of, like, Jax. So then to have to buy three more tickets, I would...
Oh, my God, I would lose my mind. Yeah. Oh, totally.
What do we think about the brothers?
Oh, yes. Now we're just going in on the brothers. Share the same cell phone.
Yes.
That was a fun tidbit.
To have Tom Sandoval dress them, which is, like, my favorite thing. Look, I mean, they're identical, right?
Yes.
I think so.
That's crazy.
And they don't really look like Schwartz.
And none of them really look like Schwartz at all.
And Schwartz is the older brother.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
When Tom Sandoval was dressing them, I also thought that was very generous.
Right.
And I mean, it was really nice.
I think he lives
I think he got...
Yeah, yeah.
He really enjoyed that. I also, like, kind of learned something from Tom Sandoval this episode.
Oh.
I don't know if you guys have any experience, but tying a bow tie is super, super hard.
And he did it on his
leg. I've never been able to do it. And he was, like, doing them really well, and he was doing them on his leg. And I was like, that's brilliant. So,
oh my God.
It was edutainment.
See, this is why we like having a guy on.
Right, I would never, I would have been like, all guys must do it on their leg.
I've never seen anybody do that, but it seems like a brilliant thing to do.
So, how many pairs of socks do you bring to a wedding, traditionally, Charlie?
The pair that I'm planning to wear. I mean, the pair that I'll wear before I change for the, I'll bring a fresh pair to change into for the event.
Right.
But so I wouldn't bring socks Sandoval. For... No, I would not bring socks for a small village.
I also feel like we saw a different side of Jax that I've never seen, which is, like, Jax as a dad.
Yeah.
A
teenager. Oh, my God. He was such a dad.
He was just like...
Clean socks, boys.
Yeah. When he's like, clean did you socks. Shower? Are you sure you showered?
I swear to God, you showered. Like, just, it was so funny. I was like, Jax might actually make a good dad.
Yeah.
Right. At least they'll look presentable.
Right.
If Tom Sandoval's there between the two of you. But yeah, I thought Tom was the unsung hero of this episode, basically dressing everyone. I don't think that Schwartz would have had an outfit to go down the aisle in without him.
Yeah.
He had cufflinks.
He was even like, saying, I have a shirt that you may want to wear.
Right.
Isn't that already settled?
Right, yeah, I do not know what shirt you're going to wear. But can we also talk about Tom Schwartz is like, I don't need to shower after going in that river. And they did that amazing edit of like 2 hours earlier of him like flopping
in the river. Doing God knows what.
I don't know if you guys have ever gone floating in a river.
Yes.
I have.
Yeah.
And like usually you're floating with lots of people. Like in Texas, they're very crowded. So like people will sometimes splash water on their face and then down the river you see someone vomiting.
Oh, drinking. No.
And so when I see him like bathing in it, I'm like,
oh no, stop.
And then yeah, didn't take a shower.
Oh. I have never been married. Megan, how early, did you write vows?
No.
Oh, you didn't. You didn't, you the traditional way?
Yes. And kind of, thank goodness, like, I think it is so sweet when people do it, but, like, that made me antsy, the fact that they kept putting it off.
Right.
I was thinking about that when I was watching it, and I was like, ooh.
Yeah, it just makes me feel anxious. Like, get it done!
Yeah, the only thing I've ever done is write a speech for the wedding, and I wrote it, like, the week going into, and I, like, finished it the day before, but if I the day of, there's no way I couldn't imagine like writing my vows the day of my wedding.
So I'm my friend asked me to officiate her wedding this summer,
You're
which
Lisa
is
a
huge honor. But yeah, so I've decided that I'm gonna go like in full Lisa Vanderpump drag and say the exact same things she said and
God,
talk
please.
In like a breathy British accent.
Yes, yes.
But when she was reading that
and wear that,
I felt myself getting like a little choked up.
Oh
like,
my God!
She just, it was a beautiful like ceremony that she had written.
And the wedding looks very Yes. Beautiful.
I also loved when my heart kind of like skipped a beat when Ken was like, "So tell me about the vows," to Tom Schwartz. And I was like, oh my God, they just love love. Like, right. These are two people who like fell in love super hard and are still together and like believe in love. And I was like, Lisa and Todd, I love you. I mean, Ken, I love you so much. Ken, Todd, two first names.
The other part that gave me such anxiety was Katie not being able to like get her dress on.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, I'm sorry, even after the last fitting, you should have tried it on again.
Right. Oh, my God. When they were, like, cutting it open, and I was like, oh,
one
my
long
God.
And this whole thing. Oh, and by the way, this has been revealed. Her dress was
$15,000. $15,000?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Which, especially when you think about how much they stressed over the budget, that was, like, 50% of their
right,
budget.
Right, right. Oh, my God.
So crazy.
That's wild.
Whoa. What was I going to say about... Oh, what did you think about the fact that Tom and Kristen wouldn't walk down the aisle together?
I thought that I totally got it.
Oh, really?
Just because it would be weird for them to walk down the aisle
together. Oh, I didn't think about it that way.
And his girlfriend is there. I don't know.
And if they had done it, then that would have meant that Stassi and Jax would have had to walk down the aisle together, too. So it really didn't make sense.
Right.
Although, no, I guess Jax and Brittany walked down the aisle together.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So I don't know who.
Well, this is why you date other people.
Right.
Not just
it's
each
It's tough
other.
In that group to, like, really find people that don't have a history.
What did you think about Ariana as a groomsman?
I thought she looked beautiful.
Yes. You can take a poll right now on BravoTV.com, by the way.
Oh.
About whether Tom or Ariana rocked the look the hardest.
I think Ariana did.
I think so, too.
I know that Tom, you know, put a lot of effort, and I think that he should be recognized for his valiant effort and for how much he did for the wedding as a whole.
Right.
But I think based on individual performance, Ariana.
Right. She came through.
She was snatched.
Yeah.
So, I think we've all watched the wedding episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing.
It's pretty good. And we've heard from a producer that somebody's vows might be better than somebody else's.
Oh, yeah. They were kind of like...
We gotta say, one touched my heart a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Make sure you watch.
I'm gonna just fix the mic again.
Okay.
We do.
Yeah.
Right, right. Or Schwartz did.
Yeah.
Now we're back in.
So let's talk about Beverly Hills, but first... A word from our sponsor.
I'm here today to tell you about a great product that is sadly no longer available on the open market, but I'm sure you could check your local eBay. Wait, let me do that again. I'm here today to tell you about a little product from Housewives Past, Wines by Wives.
Woo!
Woo! Tamara and Vicky's now defunct wine line. I think they had one called Good Enough to Throw, or maybe it was called Too Good to Throw. Either way, it was brilliant, and sadly, it's no longer available. So,
R.I.P.
Here's to Wines by Wives.
Okay, so Bev Hills. Not since Amsterdam have I seen an episode riveting.
It was
for the book.
So good. I was watching it with my roommate at home this weekend, and she doesn't watch Housewives at all, and she was like, what is actually going on? She was like, it was so good. I can't even.
I spent the entire episode, so I knew that Erica was gonna, you know, you don't know what I deal with that night. Is that what she says?
Yeah, yes.
You don't know what I deal with every night.
Right, right.
And waiting for that, and like I had all these theories about what it could be that she was talking about.
Yeah.
So I was really excited, but then, you know, even more happened after that. It was explosive.
And even with, you did a post last week about how it was directed at Eileen. And, like, even knowing that, I could not believe how it went down.
That threw me for a whole nother loop. When I found out, when you did the post and I found out, I was like, of course, I saw it on Twitter and I, like, clicked on it immediately. I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then even still, I didn't understand. Like, I was
like,
how?
Okay, so in this episode, you know, we start with, like, the remnants of that junk boat fight. Like,
yes.
Can I say that so another thing I do for Bravo is I do the social editions, which are the episodes where I put the tweets in the show. And a lot of Twitter fans from last week's episode were talking about how everybody kept referring to it as a junk boat. I guess it's just called a junk. Like, it's junk boat is redundant. So,
so it's like you'd be saying boat boat.
Yeah, I guess. Oh. That's just what I learned from Twitter.
Yeah.
All right. So, remnants of the fight on the junk.
just the junk. We were talking about how Ariana was like MVP of the wedding. I think Lisa Rinna was MVP of this episode because she would just like insert herself every time and wouldn't let it go, and I was living for it.
She definitely kept the drama going.
I was like, yes.
It made me uncomfortable how much she kept going.
Everything about this episode made me delightfully uncomfortable.
Oh my god, I was like watching it like through my hands.
Yeah, it was
time.
Like a scary movie.
I literally wrote down, yes, come through, Lisa. Really. Like, I was like so excited.
So it was like, you know, the whole, I don't deal with bullshit, Dorit, and that's what I think you are.
Right,
so,
right.
So, like, that's where we
holla fucking Lulia. Yeah.
Right.
And it doesn't get better.
I know.
That fight was actually tame.
Right.
Comparatively.
Yes, it was. But then it, like, escalated, because then Dorit and Erica were going at it, and then, I think the part that really shifted things was when Dorit was saying that the rest of the ladies made Pantygate into such a big deal.
Oh, and she lost Eileen.
Yeah, she lost Eileen, and that's when she lost everyone. And Eileen literally laughed at her. Like, laughed at that.
Yeah!
Oh my god, yes! And I was like, oh no, you've lost the group now, Dorit. You've turned on the wrong people.
Meanwhile, Lisa Vanderpump and Kyle are just watching, like, a tennis match.
Oh my god! They're,
like, back and forth and back
and they would
and
have
forth.
Little, like, eyes at each other, like, oh my god. Like, it was so good.
They were so glad not to be in that. I also, right. Like, who was it that described Dorit's accent? Was it?
Oh, it was
Lisa Rinna. She said it was a British, Australian, South African accent. And I thought that was pretty apt.
That was good.
Connecticut also.
One part that struck me as weird, and it's because I watched the episode a couple of times. Okay, so after this junk fight, they go back to the hotel, and Eileen's saying to Erica, look at your body language. Like, you're really closed off. She's like, no, I'm just cold. So then Eileen pulls her in and is like, I love you. You're such a kind person.
Yeah.
And then Erica got like a baby voice and was like, thank you.
I know. It was amazing.
It made me so uncomfortable because it was almost like Erica didn't know how to relate to other women.
Hmm.
I don't know. That's too, but it was just, she seemed so at home with Mikey and all those guys. The way I watch her interact with the other females, it's almost like a foreign.
Even like last week when she was with Kyle in the park and they
that
were talking about their
good.
Moms.
That's true.
She's like a one-on-one. She's good.
Yeah.
And then I think when she gets in with around a lot of women, she also just went through like a really not good time.
That's true.
So like I think
and
maybe
I thought
she
kind of warmed to Eileen in that moment. I
yes.
just wrote in my notes that find you someone who looks at you like Eileen. Looks at Erica Jane.
That's why the whole thing was so messed up.
Right.
Because
Eileen
Erica
loves
so
Erica.
Loves her
I felt so bad for Eileen because I knew, and I'm getting ahead of the story, but like, she never wants to hurt Erica.
No, and you, but she was like, I mean, we can get there later. It's just too much. I'm not going to get upset about it right now.
Should we just go to it? I mean, from here we go to
the Buddha.
Who amongst us would go in one of those gondolas?
I would.
Oh, totally.
Grace.
Great. Oh, Russ. Yep.
Would you go on a gondola?
With
glass bottom?
Glass bottom.
In the sky? No.
No.
Me neither. Me neither.
Well,
that's crazy.
I would need
Lisa Rinna's entire bag of pills to get me in that thing.
I think what would come for me is knowing that so many people do it. And it's even like, okay, what is that tram that you take to like Roosevelt Island sometimes.
Uh-huh, I've never been in that.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think, okay, if it snaps, I'll end up in the water, and that's fine.
Right.
And so looking at what they were doing, I was like, you would just end up, like, on the tops of the trees.
You just
end
up.
It would catch you, like
right,
a little.
Right.
Like a little monkey.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they go to that Buddha. They're all wearing ponchos, which I loved.
Yes.
Try to get a cow to Instagram with them.
An ox?
Was it an ox? I was very unclear.
They said ox.
I know they said ox,
Erica
but I was
said
like, I'm
were,
looking at
like,
a cow.
Oh,
special
yeah.
Ox.
Yeah, you're right.
It was a very nice looking cow, though. Like, sometimes cows can be kind of, like, haggard looking.
I'm
going
to have to disagree with you, Charlie. Every cow is beautiful.
Like, every housewife, every cow is
every
beautiful.
Every cow is beautiful.
So yeah, maybe we should just get into it.
Wait, a few little things.
Yeah, okay. Do it.
Dorit had a makeup artist on the trip too.
Yes.
Oh my god, yes! I was like, you have a glam squad.
And she
squad
was
too.
Crapping on Erica about.
I know the glam squad.
The glam squad, and then I was like, you have a glam squad on the trip too. And I've always wondered if they bring glam squads, and I don't think most people do. But
right,
these
you
two
saw Eileen
women,
putting on her own lipstick
yeah,
later,
I think.
And I was like,
I think. Erica and Dory were the only ones that had glam squads, and they certainly, like, you know, had to bring those people there on their own.
And this is going back to the junk, but I felt like it was a low blow for Dory to say, you just have yes people around you all the time after.
Right.
And then PK said it too, which made me think that they've said this to each other before.
Right, for sure.
Because I was like, so do you. And so does, like, I feel like all of
it's
you.
It's Beverly Hills.
Have,
she.
Yeah, yes. So I just
yeah.
was like,
you all have
it's
people
life.
Working for you. There are
right.
You all have people in the payroll. Like,
you can't just say that she's surrounded by yes. But then it also reminded me, I don't know if you watched the Britney Spears documentary on MTV.
Yes.
In, like, 2009.
I
yeah.
I watched it recently.
I loved when she was, like, honestly talking to the camera and was like, I am surrounded by people who just tell me I'm fabulous and yell all the time, and sometimes I just want an honest answer and I don't have it. And they showed, like, her in a room being like, is this really look okay? And they're like, yes, girl, oh my god, you're amazing. You could see Brittany just being like, I just want an honest answer.
Right.
And I was like, maybe that's how Erica and Dorit feel.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I mean,
that moment reminded me of that.
I feel like they're in different situations
yeah,
than Britney Spears was.
We're
in
not
that context.
True. Okay.
More than anything, this is just a reminder to go rewatch that documentary.
Yeah,
definitely.
You can see your dad make cheese grits.
Yeah.
No one remembers anything.
I know.
Like,
oh my god,
there's
I
there's something
down
in
too.
The water in Beverly
I was
Hills.
Like
everybody has the faultiest of memories.
Right.
And
I don't
how
remember.
Dare Lisa Rinna get upset with Dorit for that?
I know.
It seemed,
it
maybe she doesn't
of...
remember how little she
remember. She doesn't remember saying I don't remember. Yeah, it was a lot of, like, Lisa really holding Dorit's feet to the fire. And I didn't really understand, well, maybe because of all the pill stuff, she has something against her, never mind. I was like, I didn't understand what her bone to pick with Dorit was. But
yeah,
was
well, the fight initially
the
started
Xanax stuff.
On the junk. Because the talk of Lisa's pill bag
right.
was, and Xanax just... smoothies came up. But then it just turned to, and then Erica took up for Lisa.
Right.
And then that's when it spiraled out of control. And then it was like, you know, as Eden called it, the elephant at the table.
Right.
When they went to dinner. And I was really proud of Eden because in Housewives history, a lot of people have mangled the, like, elephant in the room idiom. Like, a lot of people have said, like, it's a white elephant at the in the room.
Right.
Or it's a pink elephant in the room. And the elephant, the proverbial elephant in the room doesn't
have
color.
A color. Right.
The white elephant and a pink elephant are different things.
Right.
And so I was just really proud that Eden got it right. I mean, she made it at the table instead of in the room, but she got it mostly right, and I was
good
very
note.
Happy for her.
Yeah, good note.
Okay, I feel like everything got sort of revved up when Lisa Rinna says to Dorit, do you trust your husband?
Ooh, yeah.
Yes, but I think even before that was the you don't know what I go through every night.
No.
Oh, it wasn't?
No.
Okay.
So, yeah, do you trust your husband? Kyle jumps in like, what are you talking, like,
yeah.
Kyle's sensitive about Mauricio because
right.
a few seasons ago,
of course,
there was stuff,
magazine,
yeah, with Brandy
article.
And Lisa,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Also, because Lisa Rinna went after her sister in Amsterdam because Kim basically did the same thing.
She did the same thing, yeah.
I think that Lisa Rinna does not mind being a hypocrite.
Right!
That is what I'm gathering from this episode.
Right!
I'm not calling her a hypocrite.
No, I agree 1,000%.
But I think that she's just like, I'm going to say what I think my truth is in this moment. It might go against what my truth is was a couple days ago.
Yeah.
But I don't care because I want to say what I want to say
yeah.
right now. And so, it doesn't faze her.
Yeah.
It truly doesn't.
So they kind of talked about that. And then Erica, Erica got upset because Erica's like, Kyle, how dare you be upset about, you know, the husband.
Oh, yeah.
My husband.
Right.
I have to do, what did she say? Don't mess with my marriage.
Oh, yes. Yeah, she said, don't mess with my marriage. I wrote it down, too. And then she also said, which I was like, yes, Erica, because she was like, let alone my marriage or my husband. What about me? Like, we're so worried about touching the husbands. You're hurting me a person. Like, why are we worried about these men? Like, you're being a jerk to me.
And I thought that this was the first time she really eloquently said mm-hmm. why it bothered her.
Right.
Because I think Lisa Vanderpump was a little bit like some of the audience maybe watching, being like, What is it that, like, is really upsetting?
It does seem like, it did seem like much ado about nothing up until this point. And now it kind of makes a little bit more sense.
Right.
But that does make sense if you really, like, took a step back and thought about it. If you're saying that this is a person that likes to go around flashing random men, what does that say about her marriage? I'm sure she already gets a lot of stuff about her marriage. As we've seen early in the season, she kind of was like, I don't care what anybody thinks. This is my marriage or whatever. I think she probably gets that a lot. She doesn't want something else to question her marriage.
And that's what I was going to ask. Do you think that she would be saying this stuff about my marriage if she weren't married to a man that was so much older than her?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it adds to her being sensitive about her marriage, but I think that just like Kyle, if there's any rumors of, like, me putting myself out there on display, it's not respectful of my husband. It might say that I'm being a slut. I'm being someone that's not who I am and disrespecting our marriage. So I don't know. I would be upset.
I think it would be, anybody would get upset. But I'm sure that, like, because we don't see her husband that much on the show,
right.
And he is older, and he is sort of high profile in a very different arena, she's extra sensitive about it.
Right, and she probably has a very clear control of what her image is with Erica Jayne.
Yeah.
And this is going outside of that.
Yeah, it's saying Erica Girardi is this person.
Right, right.
This is where I felt Erica took
a turn.
A misstep. Is, like, Dorit's hearing all this and is genuinely like, I didn't.
She kept trying to apologize.
She kept trying to apologize, and I felt earnestly. And then Erica would push it. Well, then you need to apologize to my husband. And Dorit's like, okay. And then she goes, and your husband needs to apologize to me. And I was like, what?
I think it got to the point that Erica was just so mad.
Yeah. She couldn't let it go.
She didn't want to let it go. She needed to, they needed to end the night there. Like, I don't know why everybody stayed at that table and kept screaming. Like, it was so clear that they were not going to solve this.
Yeah. Right.
And also that they were, like, really hurting America's standing in Hong Kong. Like, I feel like the other people in that restaurant, like, this could have been, like, a diplomatic, like, crisis. Like, nice, the other people in that restaurant are, like, seriously?
These Americans over here. I identify with Erica because I feel like she gets really upset and then just says things, which I can totally relate to. So I do think that she just got to a point that she was so upset and was just, like, wouldn't believe anything Dorit was saying anymore. And I think that it's kind of like almost like crying wolf. Like, how much time has Dorit had to kind of realize this impact that she's had on Erica? I understand Erica was always trying to brush it off and not make it a thing, but I think it's just kind of like, no, even if you say you're sorry now, I don't care because it's taken too long and you've burned this bridge and I'm mad at you. And
yeah.
I'm always going to be mad at you. I don't like you. I think you're a bad person. I think all of that just, like, exploded at this dinner.
And then, yeah, I agree. And then Eileen, I felt like I would have probably been Eileen in the situation.
Yes, exactly.
Because it was getting to be a little much on Erica. Like,
yes.
Or, I mean, on Dorit. Like, Erica doesn't like Dorit. I think that she's perfectly valid in that. Like, she's allowed to not like her, not want to forgive her right now, not want to even forgive her ever, maybe. Like, that's her prerogative. But if I had been at that table, I would have been like, okay, but, like, let's just cool it for, like, now. Like, it's fine.
Like,
let's just move on. And then Eileen said something that I don't think that she would have said if she had considered what she was saying. She was just in the moment, and she was just going for, like, what's the worst thing you can do? And she said, it's not like, you know, she killed your child.
Right.
And she, I don't think, meant that. It was just a random thing. It could have been, like, I don't know.
She could have said your mother. She could have said anything, like, anything terrible.
But she said something that Erica is also very sensitive about, understandably, that,
right.
You know, her son's at a dangerous job.
I think that's a two-pronged thing. First of all, like, when, you know, as housewife fans, the kids are off limits.
Yeah.
Like, they make that super clear. So even when she said, it's not like she killed your child, even Kyle was like, you can see that just, like, jarred her a little. Like, don't bring up the kids.
Yeah.
But then for Erica, well, he is a cop who could very well be killed, and...
And it seems like Erica has had a conversation with Eileen about mm-hmm. this, so I think that extra hurt her, that she's like, you know, I've yeah. opened up to you about this. Why are you going there? I'm not defending what happened after. I'm not defending anyone's behavior, but... Because then it just goes so much. And you could tell Eileen did not mean that in any way. Like, when she started tearing up, being like, I would never hurt you. I was like,
bless her heart. She was like, I want to take a moment to, you know, honor her.
Oh, yeah. I know. And I was like, no.
Oh, it was tough stuff.
But this was also, what do we say, over the summer, right?
Yeah.
When she was like, in this political climate, I was like, oh no, things are going so badly. This is becoming a whole other thing.
It was real and it was scary, and I felt for everybody involved, because like the people that weren't involved were, you know, Kyle's faces are great. She's just so uncomfortable, and she's just like, she wants to like leave her body and just be anywhere else in that moment.
Dorit's kind of like, what? How did this happen?
I'm surprised Dorit wasn't like, phew, like... Right.
Just Eileen's little face when she like started to cry. I just was like, oh.
Here's one person I didn't feel sorry for. Lisa Rinna.
Oh no.
I
was such a like you're saying, just so intense, so terrible. Let's call it a night. And then Lisa Rinna's like, one more thing.
But before we get the check.
And also it's like, I thought she was like, well, this is my last night in Hong Kong. As if you're never going to see her again, though. Like, I'll never
see her again. She's like, I'm going to QVC tomorrow, so I'm going to throw out some, like, real hot accusations.
Oh, my God. I literally lost my mind.
I wrote down, in all caps, drugs! Exclamation point, exclamation point.
I wrote down, coke! Exclamation point, exclamation point. Like, oh, my God.
Which, looking, because they play a little snippet that we hadn't seen previously, how she is alone with what's that guy's name?
Howard Salt?
It's like Mintz.
Oh, Elliot Mintz.
Yes.
She's at a table alone with Elliot Mintz.
Yes.
To me, I read that as like, she's like, oh, everyone else is going, and he's like in this deep conversation with her. But she took the opportunity to be like, you all left the table. Were you doing coke?
Well, I know. I loved that it was like, they needed a touch-up, and she touched her nose, and was like, she's not saying what I think she's saying.
She's not talking about their
and
makeup.
And then she goes, and we could play the clip, and she just says it outright. I'm like, she didn't just insinuate. She just, like, flat-out asked her if she was doing coke in the bathroom.
Accused.
Coke in the bathroom, too. It wasn't like, if you're at somebody's house, you can do it anywhere. But it was, like, specifically coke in the bathroom. I was like, oh, my God, what is happening on this show?
What do you think would have happened if Dorit had been like, yeah, that's what we were doing.
Oh, my God.
Because, I mean, I obviously know. Like, that's not. But I just think that their heads would have, like, exploded.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
And maybe Lisa Rinna, that could have become, like, a joke. She could have been like, well, then why didn't you invite me?
I don't think these ladies would have done that. No, I don't think that's how they would have reacted to it. But that was crazy, especially because I didn't really see it coming, because I don't think that's been really teased.
Right, no.
We've been waiting for, I spent the whole episode waiting for, you don't know what I do with that night. And then that seemed like it was over, and then drug accusations came out.
You're like, oh, we're done. Oh, there's one more.
Yeah, it was wild, and just...
Oh my God, I also wrote, let it go, Erica, on top of coke. So that's just where this episode was.
But I do like the frequent mentions of cocaine now. Like, we had it with Roni at the reunion, where they're like...
But earlier when...
You like that? You like all these cocaine mentions? It's like, you know, I loved all my shows, but the only thing that was missing was more cocaine!
Any chance that they have to, like, accuse each other of doing drugs, I just live for it.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's so funny.
It's, but that's a, you know, it is still illegal in America.
Yes.
And so that is a harsh...
in America.
To, like, that's a harsh accusation to level against somebody.
Small children.
Especially,
because I think that, I was telling my roommate this last night, I think it's a different on Roni and Bev, especially with Dorit, because on Roni, Dorinda's daughter is grown up. She's an adult person. If she's doing cocaine, which I'm not saying that she is, because I'm here for you, Dorinda, that's different than Dorit
don't comfort
doing
Dorinda.
It, you know? Like, that is a different situation. Any of them, really.
Because Kyle got so upset when Brandy was like, you smoke pot, which is, like, really so...
It's legal in a lot of states now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And she still was, like, so upset. Yeah, well, yeah, in California, so especially.
But I think that the Beverly Hills women are definitely much more kind of proper and kind of, loath to go there.
Yeah, completely.
So, Charlie, we've talked before about, like, our favorite housewives' vacations.
Mm-hmm.
What are, like, your top two?
I think Scary Island. I took the poll on the website, and I said Island. I think Scary Island is the one. New York is the best vacation franchise.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, because don't be all uncool.
Pirates.
Yes. Everything that ever happened. First of all, they always, they've gone to London, but they almost always go to, like, a warm beach locale, right. Which I think gets everybody in, like, the mood to really just, like, let loose and just go there.
Yep.
They almost always stay in the same residence,
yes.
Which none of the other franchises do.
Oh, really?
Everybody seems to stay in hotel rooms in all the other shows, but Beverly Hills or on New York, Rome, they're always staying in a vacation house, and that just adds to it, like sharing rooms and stuff.
Right.
So I would just say, Scary Island is my ultimate, and New York is my ultimate vacation franchise. And I can't wait to see what happens on the upcoming season of New York.
Oh, my God, that trailer. So good.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And everyone, definitely watch Sweet Home Oklahoma.
Yes.
Yes, Mondays at 10.
Woohoo! What would Pump say?
What would Pump say? I don't know. Cut that out.
Tweet us any questions or comments you have at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Thank you.